In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. When we hear the words of Jesus, there is an important fact that we often forget. Here's something that is so important to always remember. In the Gospels, Christ is constantly surrounded by people who are really, really poor. And I don't mean poor in the sense of I can only buy an old iPhone poor. I don't mean in the sense of I can't afford to run the air conditioner on hot days poor. I mean poor in the sense of grinding, suffocating poverty. Men and women and children who work endlessly with their hands and arms and backs and shoulders, but who nevertheless cannot say for certain whether next month or even next week will bring starvation or homelessness. People who are kept poor by crushing taxes, followed by criminal rents. Most of the population at that time was poor in this very extreme sense of poor. And it is to these people, to them, that Christ preaches the good news. It is they whom Christ teaches. Christ moves in their direction. He heals their sick. His mission is directed toward their homes and their villages and their synagogues. And because we forget this important fact, we often don't hear what Jesus is really saying in the Gospels. When Jesus talks about wealth and poverty, too often we spiritualize his words. We assume that Jesus is talking about something more than just money. When Jesus says, go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor, we think that Jesus is just using money as a metaphor. We say Christ is really talking about much more than that. He's talking about any kind of attachment. Anything that might claim our loyalty, he's not literally talking about just money, we say. When Jesus says that it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter heaven, we think that Jesus is just using an exaggeration for rhetorical effect. We don't take him at his literal word. When the disciples, they ask Jesus how to pray, Christ teaches them the Lord's Prayer. We know this. Part of this prayer is, give us this day our daily bread. To us, this is a prayer asking God to give us everything that we need to accomplish whatever our goals are for the day. Food, yes, but whatever else. To the poor around Jesus, this prayer, very simply, is a prayer asking God to help them avoid starvation. That's the meaning of it. And this morning, Jesus says you cannot worship both God and mammon. It's a funny word, mammon. It's a word in Jesus' own language, Aramaic. It means wealth or profit. Jesus speaks Aramaic, and in the Gospels, all four of them, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Christ is recorded as speaking in Aramaic only four times. Only four times. When he calls the disciples, James and John, Jesus calls them Boanerges, which in Aramaic we think means sons of thunder. That's the first time the Gospels have Jesus speaking only in his native language. Second, when he raises Jairus' daughter from the dead in Mark's Gospel, Jesus says to the girl, Talitha kumi, which means little girl, rise. When he is on the cross, he quotes a verse from the Psalms in Aramaic, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then finally today, Christ says that you can worship God or you can worship wealth. And just to remind us that this is really important as calling the disciples, as important as raising the dead, as important as dying on the cross, just to remind us that this is really important, Matthew records Jesus speaking in his own language, just so that there's no confusion. Mammon. He tells poor people, people who dream of not being poor, he tells them that wealth and profit will separate you from God. Put another way, Jesus is telling extremely poor people to stay exactly as they are. We don't hear it this way. We spiritualize the words of Jesus. We think Jesus is saying, just be careful. It is hard to balance love of God and love of material things. But surely you can't be wealthy. You can be wealthy, most certainly, right? And worship God. It's all just a matter of perspective and of avoiding excesses, isn't it? Well, that's not what Jesus is saying. He's telling poor people to stay poor, and this is not even the most scandalous thing that he says in the gospel this morning. Jesus goes on to make a stunning promise. He tells the people that God knows what you need. Have concern for today, yes, but have no concern for what tomorrow will bring. It's beyond your control. And then Christ says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well. And once again, we don't hear it the way it's meant to be heard. We spiritualize those words. Surely Jesus means something more than God will give you what you need. Perhaps Jesus means that if you obey the commandments of God, then things in general will go well for you. But I can still worry about tomorrow, right? I have to. It would be foolish not to. The world is so uncertain. I can still call my broker and check on my investments. I can still put $100 in savings rather than give it to a poor person. I can still play the lottery or become a landlord. Everyone needs some extra cash, right? This morning, Christ invites us to hear what he says, not to hear what we want to hear. And this morning, Jesus makes a promise. Specifically, he makes a promise to people who are really, really poor. It is not a promise. It is not a promise that God will make you rich. Christ says that if you seek the kingdom and seek the righteousness or justice of God, then God will give you what you need. Here is the great scandal at the heart of the gospel. Christ asks for radical trust. Radical trust is what he wants. If you live in poverty, seek the kingdom. Live Eucharistically, always thanking God for the day and even for your situation, as crummy as it might be. But in your poverty, also seek the righteousness of God. Continue to love your neighbor as yourself. Do you only have food for 10 more days? Well, you have a brother who has food for only 2 days, so share with him. Love God and love your neighbor. Let love lead you, and your love will return to you. You will have what you need. And he uses that beautiful imagery of the birds and the flowers. God loves you more than the birds in the air and those flowers in the field who neither toil nor spin. And that same God now invites you to trust him. Again, it is really radical trust asked for by Christ, not just abstract trust. Trust that I don't know that God will allow us into heaven someday when we die. In fact, I would say it can't even be about that. That's not what our trust is in. Jesus just said, don't be anxious about tomorrow. Don't worry about heaven. Worry about earth, today's earth at least. Christ is calling you and calling me to place our trust in him today in real ways. But when you are not poor, when you live in a land blessed with cell phones and social nets, what does radical trust even look like? We spend so much time taking care of our own needs how actually, on a day-to-day basis, do we rely on God? What needs do I depend on God to fulfill? Look, let's be honest. I can make 79 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches at home right now. I have 6 pairs of shoes, umpteen pairs of shirts and slacks, 2 cars, a retirement account, 4 cell phones, 4 laptops, health insurance, Netflix, and air conditioning. In my life, where is God in all of that? Where is the radical trust that Christ calls for in all of that? How much less time do I have for seeking the kingdom and seeking the righteousness of God? The same is true of our parish. We are here today because we have started a very worthwhile project at church. But all things considered, and as expensive as that is, we are a comfortable parish. That can change in an instant, of course. And we are by no means a super rich community at all. But we own 3 buildings and a parking lot. We are landlords and have a substantial endowment because other people have been generous to us. And the endowment will remain substantial even after we complete our project. In all of that, where is the radical trust Christ calls for? How much less time as a parish community do we have for seeking the kingdom and seeking the righteousness of God? We are not poor, not like the poor to whom Jesus preached and ministered. In many ways, this morning, we are like outsiders looking in. We are eavesdropping on a message not intended for us. We worship mammon more often than we worship God. And this is so because we live in a wider culture that idolizes wealth and profit. It's in the water we drink and the air that we breathe. In most every sermon, I try and begin with a challenge, but always end with hope. An image of darkness followed by an image of light. I begin with our weakness, but move to examples of Christ's power. I think today, this week, the challenge is the important thing. The problem right now is more important than the solution. Jesus calls us to radical trust, to hear his voice and to let love be our guide, love of God, love of the neighbor. And this is trust in God, not tomorrow, but today, life and death trust. What needs do I rely on God to fulfill? Are they all just spiritual needs? Comfort, hope, and forgiveness. These are good things, and God desires to give them to us. But Jesus promises far more than that today. So long as we seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness, Christ promises to give us everything that we need. What am I willing to give up so that I might more and more resemble the people Jesus is actually talking to? How can I have ears to hear what Jesus says about wealth and about poverty? How can I learn to trust God more and more in concrete ways day in and day out? In the weeks to come, on these Sundays of comfortable displacement, we'll explore some of the answers. We will discover that we are not too far from where we should be. Changes are needed, but really the changes needed at the start are changes at the level of the heart. Changes in what we love. Changes in who we love. When love is right, all things are possible. Even the radical trust Christ calls for this day. Amen.